On to Mark Brown. Mr. Stagg.
Good morning. This is an application by Marky Brown. Excuse me. Requesting authorization to lease up to 18 acres of horse planting ground at the confluence of the Pagan River and the James River, adjacent to the Pagan River Federal Project Channel in Olive Lake County. The application has been protested by an adjacent horse ground leaseholder. The original application, this is orientation map. Again, Pagan River, this is the Pagan River Channel coming out. Goodwin Point, Days Point. This is Pagan River heading into Smithfield, Battery Park and Rescue Area. As you can see, there's a number of leases in this area. The actual application runs right along the north side of the channel and borders other leased ground to the north of the application and a piece of public ground here to the northwest. At the time we took the application, based on both our oyster leasing maps and NOAA charts, there appeared to be adequate space for a contiguous lease along the northern side of the channel, running between the leases to the north and the channel channel proper. We did advertise the application on our NOAA public interest review, and it was posted in the local area as also required by the Code of Virginia. There was discussion with Mr. Brown at the time of the application that, you know, we would have to do the field work to determine the exact orientation along the channel, and that it is our policy not to lease federal project channels. And I'll direct you to the code as well. 28.2 621 addresses this issue, and you can look it up in your law book if you want. It's on page 98, but I'll kind of synopsize it. It basically says, when we receive information from the Secretary of Army about a federal project type channel, that we would not lease those areas needed for the federal project area. And so we have a policy, but it's based on that section of the code, which is germane to the discussion further down the road here. We did do a field survey of the area, and at the time we discovered that the actual channel alignment markers preclude this configuration that you see here. Again, this is the application kind of superimposed over the chart. This is the actual channel. These are the channel markers, and there's another one off to the east that's off this chart, and of course some more to the west. This is the actual survey. So you can see that we actually struck a line from this marker to this marker and then to this marker. That is that thin line you can see here, 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 and then here, and it goes kind of over top the line here, and I'll explain that a little bit in a moment. Here's a little closer view. During the public interest review, we did receive first a phone call and then an email, and the email is in your packet. From Mr. Shannon Gay, who is an adjacent leaseholder along the north side of the application. As you can see, he has these leases, all three of these, and then there's other leaseholders also to the north. His specific objections include the narrow nature of the proposed lease area, its close proximity to the channel, and whether it would be large enough to allow dredging. He also questioned whether, if it was dredged, how would that be possible in such a narrow area without either encroaching upon his leases or the actual channel itself. As noted a moment ago, based on the location of the channel as currently marked, we cannot connect the area completely contiguous from one end to the other. These distances that are shown here, this is the distance from the channel marker, which would be the corner, to the north, at this point is 64 and a half feet. However, it gets as narrow right here between the channel alignment between these two markers, that's 12.8 feet. And goes back to about 30 feet. And here, the line between the channels actually is about 3 feet inside the Gay lease. Now, the reason for that, and Mr. Brown will probably allude to this, let me back up and show you the... You can see the channel area here, and you can see there's a lease right here that's in the, actually in the channel, right in the middle of the channel. That's one lease right there. The this area has been leased historically for years, and this lease is extremely old. It has been replatted just to correct some errors in the area, but it may or may not predate the federal project channel. But also under 28.2621, that same section of the code, the second paragraph basically says nothing in this section shall prohibit the renewal of any lease in existence at the time the commission receives information for the authorization of a federal project channel. So we certainly have leases that are in federal project channels that are basically grandfathered by law. The same instance has happened right here where you see this break in the channel. The current channel marker is actually inside these leases. I believe from this research I've done that when these were surveyed, the marker was not where it is now, because the channel markers get moved somewhat by the Corps over time to either match the channel as it shifts naturally. So there are some instances along this alignment where we have existing leases, but it's basically because either the channel was realigned or they actually were in existence before the channel was approved. So that kind of gets you up to speed on where we are and why we don't feel that we can make this one contiguous lease. Again, as I noted, right here, it is completely cut off from the western part, because this corner is actually, you know, inside the channel slightly. So that leaves us with two kind of split areas that could be leased. Again, we just feel that this is, you know, too narrow to really be able to work it, particularly to dredge it. The conundrum for the applicant is that he I think he really wants this area and probably this area. This standing alone is not large enough to get a dredge permit. The code restricts dredging to 3 acres or more, or two leases contiguous to each other that make 3 acres together. Unfortunately, these would not be contiguous to each other because they'd be split here by the channel cutting them off. We did inform Mr. Brown in some correspondence before the commission meeting of this configuration, and that it was our policy not to lease federal project channel areas, and that even in spite of taking his application in good faith, hoping that we could connect this with a wide enough area, when we actually got out there and did the alignment of the markers, it precludes us from being able to do that. Additionally, Mr. Gay was informed that same thing, but he has not removed his objections, and I believe is here as well. So our recommendation is that, in spite of the fact that we accepted it and believe we might be able to make it contiguous, the actual survey conditions preclude that, and it is our policy based on code not to lease federal navigation areas. We also believe the small area between the two as surveyed is not large enough to be included in the western section. However, the mere fact that someone's applied for ground adjacent to another person's ground has never been a reason for us to not lease the ground. So, of course, you will still have a lease here that would be adjacent to the protestant, but we've never really taken a stand that we put buffers around. As you can see here, there's lots of leases, and they all butt against each other, and that's basically a law enforcement issue if someone believes someone else is working their ground. The other problem here would be that we have to split this, which would require two plats. If you approve this staff recommendation and the applicant wishes to lease both these areas, it will require a second plat at an additional costing of $100. The survey fee covers the 510 survey fee would cover the application for both, but when we have to split an application because of this reason or some other reason, they have to be separate leases because they're not contiguous, and we charge an additional $100 to make the second plat. The other issue would be that should Mr. Brown not want to lease the smaller area, based on your action, if you approve both areas to be leased, because it's too small to get a dredge permit, he could hand-tong it, but he couldn't get a dredge permit. We would still recommend, you know, he could lease the western section, and of course this area would just become vacant again. Mr. Gay did express in his objections that, you know, he believed he should get this area, or he, you know, which he could have applied for it at any time, but this would become vacant, and we would not have any issue with him applying, and that could be resurveyed into this existing lease as one lease and become his ground. Of course, Mr. Brown might object, but we'll be back here if that happens. Hopefully that's clear as to the rationale of why we've taken the stand here that we did. I know Mr. Brown, we told him this, but he felt he still wanted to come down here and address this, and he certainly has that right.
Dan, what's the depth of water on that smaller piece that could be hand-tonked?
Mr. Brown may be able to. I know he's checked it. He may be able to tell you that. It does, and I don't know if Rob can give us any input in sticking it, but I know it comes up pretty quickly out of it. Rob Butler's a surveyor that actually did the survey. Do you have any idea?
My guess would be about 6 feet.
Okay. Is there any product in the area now on the bottom in any of these areas?
I'm not sure about the western part. Mr. Brown indicated that he believed there were oysters on this smaller section, but that's just hearsay from him.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Stein?
All this area is work, though, these other leases. There is activity going on.
Thank you. Mr. Tankard?
So has this bottom ever been leased before?
I don't think this narrow strip anyone's ever applied. This is a newer lease. These are historically been there a long time, but no one's ever just tried to lease quite that close to the town.
Any other questions?
Is this a dredge channel or just marked?
Well, that's a question of some debate. We believe that there was a section in this area that was, at least the Corps was talking about dredging it, and we believe it may have been dredged. I don't know exactly where along here, but sections of the Pagan River Channel have definitely been dredged somewhere between the mouth here and the station. The potential is always there if there's a shoal here. It's a congressionally approved federal project channel.
I know the Corps doesn't talk to each other about the people who put the markers and the people who do the dredging.
and that's the issue that Mr. Brown may raise, is that these are the channel markers. That is not the alignment of the actual federal project channel. That's this smaller set of lines you see here.
Right.
That's the actual channel, but we consider the markers, we do try to buffer that, and these markers are part of the federal project channel. I mean, that's part of the way it's depicted on their drawings. And unfortunately, they do get moved slightly, which results sometimes in ground eventually migrating into. But we feel that this is as close as we should go based on the code.
Well, also, from the main channel, there's the buffer area for the channel that calls the slope.
Right.
That's part of the maintained channel.
Go to the markers, because they're usually well outside, you know, they're outside the slope area.
Right.
But not by a whole lot.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Any further questions? Thank you. Mr. Brown? Sure. Let me swear you in, Martin.
My name is Mark Brown.
You swear the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
All right. I want you to go back to the original application. And by the way, Benny is the one that drew up.
I did.
The original application.
So there was a mistake made.
I told him what I wanted, and we discussed it, and then Rob came up, and the actual survey.
Is this the one?
Yeah, I'm going to go up and point. The actual survey that was done on this piece of ground, this was marked, The pink piece is the one they went back and revised. The actual survey of this piece of ground, this is the lower corner, I mean, the one of the corners, and this is one of the corners. All right? That's the actual survey that was done that I was physically with Rob and we did. All right?
I can address that now or later.
You can address it now. Go ahead and address it now. I want to make sure we get this all taken care of.
Rob did the field work without me present, which he normally always does. Came in and plotted it, and I immediately had concerns with the way he had stuck it. He had stuck it. There was more ground stuck than you saw in the final drawing that I just showed you. And I said, well, where are the channel markers? And when he plotted that, he located those. That's there. I said, well, this thing is, you know, it's beyond the channel line. And it was. And that was the way it was originally staked up. But that's part of what we have to do when we stake it. And you got to realize when you're out here,
but
you know,
you're telling me now that when we originally surveyed it, that we had stuck in the channel.
Yes, but I'm the guy that approves the plat. So
right.
When it came to me, and it's hard for a guy out there, and Rob does a good job,
sure.
But this is a long ways here
sure.
To know exactly where you are when you're sticking it, because we've got one channel marker behind you and one in front of you, and you don't know whether you crossed the line.
Right, and Rob and
which
I went
is
back.
That's why we went back out.
We
I went
back.
Out
I know, but you went back. Me and Rob went back. Rob, can you stand up for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Rob and I also went back. When we stuck, go right over here, Benny. Go right there. All right, blow it up so they can see it. Go right along in there. Mm-hmm. Well, go back over here because
yes.
That's where we originally stuck
right.
All right, go back in here. When we originally stuck this stake and we lined this other stake up, Rob went back and we looked down the line of poles and Rob said, Ben's not going to approve that. It's way too far out in the town. And I said, fine. I said, I ain't got a problem. I said, move it back in where you think it should be. And Rob's been doing this. Ben used to do it all the time. And Ben's been got a higher position now, so Rob's the one that gets to do it all. Rob went back and I said, now I want you to stick it where you think Ben won't have a problem with it. And Rob did. Rob went back and he moved it in. And he asked me, he said, is it all right with you now? And I said, sure, that's fine. I said, as long as you think Ben's going to be pleased with it, that's what I want. So that's what we did. And I thought everything was fine with it. And Rob had told me from the beginning that he was getting protest from the adjacent leaseholder, which is Mr. Gay, and he's present today. And he had called several times to complain and complain and complain. He told him that he needed to send a letter of protest, not to just call and complain. The proper process, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, is it goes through the newspaper, then it's surveyed, and it's got a 30-day time period from the time it's surveyed. Well, in that 30-day time period, which was, I believe, to be on a Thursday or Friday, Stan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he had until that day to object to it. He objected that afternoon at 3:30 by email from Volvo Pennels, where he worked at. He didn't even sign. He never took the time to write a handwritten letter and signed his name to it as a formal protest. He emailed something to him. Now, I know that they said that they take that, but I think that was to wait till the last day to protest this thing. And then I think that's why Ben's got the problems with it, because it was, which is in the town. If you can go out to the original surveys that you have on this piece of property, you can leave, I mean, on the plat. I want you to go all the way up to here. Go all the way up to this piece right in here.
Right.
And the letter that I received from the DMRC, which was Mr. Gay's formal protest, he complained about my new lease being in the channel, which, in fact, blow this section up right here. You can't? All right. Well, I'll tell you. This piece right here is Mr. Gay's piece. His is in the channel. Been stuck in the channel for 30 years. He's never complained about his own being stuck in the channel. Nobody else has ever said anything. But when I applied for the pieces to join him, he had a problem with mine being stuck in the channel. And he sent them a letter stating. But just going back, this other piece of ground is Mr. West. I have a permit to work on Mr. West's ground. His is in the channel. It's an old lease. He recently purchased it about 2 or 3 years ago. Nobody has a problem with Mr. West's ground being in the channel. My piece of ground that I applied for with Ben in his office the day we applied for it, I told him that I want to get that whole piece. Now, can you blow this section up that we were jumping through? Well, that's not, I want the yellow one. I don't want to even see the pink one. I mean, I'm going to have to accept that evidently, but I'm making my state for y'all right now. Yeah.
That good?
I wanted this all one continuous piece so I could dredge this acre and a half that's up here, which would have been about 2 acres up here, and then I can dredge back here. There are actual, go to the pink pieces and I'll show them. Now, all this is, the way these laws work is in the wintertime when the dredge season's in or the hand scrape season's in, you can work the channel. There's horses in all of this. I found all these this past winter. My son can attest to that. He was with me. There's horses on. Now, I don't know how to do this. Look, I'm computer illiterate.
Just move it.
Don't push no button. There's horses in this piece from right here. Damn, I pushed the button. I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm going to try not to touch nothing. Y'all can laugh all you want, but this is somebody ain't never been on a computer. All of this piece right here, all the way to right here, all in here, which is in the channel, which that's public, I can't get that, but all in here, all around this piece here, right down this corner here, that all has horses on it. This piece right in here where this point makes, in other words, if Ben had let me have all the way to this channel, this corner here, from here back down this piece here, there's horses all around this channel marker right here. Now, this channel marker is not where it's supposed to be. That was moved the last time they put channel markers up. It was actually over here closer to the channel, but the Coast Guard, when they stuck it last, they put it over that way further. And then, yeah, there we go. I'm getting it now. Right along in there is horses. And I would like for the board to consider my original application. Now, you know, and I understand he's protesting, but I need this whole piece. And Mr. Gay can attest to the fact that I've never been caught on his ground. I've never worked his piece of ground. Now, he's had trouble with other people working his ground, and I said something to him and told him about it. I'm the one that came to him and told him about it. And he ended up hiring the same guys to go back in there and work his ground that were working it to start with that was stealing from him. That's all I've got to say. I mean, I'd appreciate y'all letting me have the piece of ground that I approved that was or I had originally applied for so that I can dredge it. And if you don't, I'm under the assumption that this is still my application here. I get that piece of ground before you. Okay. But I know what staff recommendations are, but staff's also the one that drew the first original proposal up, and that's what I'd like to go with. Thank you very much.
Ms. Brown, there'll be some questions.
All right, anybody got any questions?
What's your long-term plan for using the ground?
Planting some more. All of this, see there, I can mess up. All of this right here is all natural. All of this back here around this channel marker, that's all natural. That's a natural orchard rock. And it's been there for hundreds of years. And Mr. Gay has owned the ground. He's had the opportunity to take all up, but he doesn't work on the water. Now, his father did, and his father must have missed him orchard. He was a good horseman. I was Paul Burr and his father's funeral. I knew his father real well. He never knew it was any horses up there, and he'd worked the ground before. But I found them this winter. Me and Mr. West found those horses. He's got his own boat, but we were working together a lot. Me and him found those horses this winter all along the edge of that channel. And that's why I applied for the ground. I thought that I could take it up. Well, you know.
If this is what the commission approves, would you hand tong that smaller area?
I'm going to have to. I mean, I'm 51 years old. I don't want to shaft on the one. I have to. But I mean, I would like it if y'all could give me the original thing. I can hand dredge. I mean, I can dredge it. I can dredge it with a mechanical device. I wouldn't have to do it by hand tongs. I mean, we don't look. Y'all didn't walk to work today. You didn't ride a bicycle. Nobody rode up here. There's no horses and carts out here. Everybody got in the car and rode to work. I shouldn't have to work hand tongs if I don't have to. And if y'all give me my original application, I won't have to work hand tongs. But if you don't, then I gotta do that. My son, he's 20 years old. I don't want him to have to shaft on unless he has to. He dredges with me every day.
Any other questions, Mr. Brown? Mr. Palmer?
Mr. Brown, you seem to be working up there for 30 years.
No, I've been working. I'm 51. I've been working on the water since I was... I started going out with my father when I was
right.
in high
school. But that one particular area. Have you seen the channel markers move back and forth from the Coast Guard?
Yes, they have moved back and forth. And they move them all the time.
And
that one, this one right here has been moved. This one right here has been moved. It was right along. It might have been not right at the channel, but it was a whole lot further over here. If you can pan this thing out, you'll see that on the channel, it's a straight line from one end to the two. It turns going into the Pagan River. That's all one straight line. And if you'll go, if Ben, can you get up here and pan this out for me? I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I don't know how to do this crap. I'm not no. Ben will show you it's all one straight line, if he can. He might not be able to.
It's hard to. This is a topo map. It's not really the channel, but it is relatively straight. It is not straight between the markers.
If you ride in the road like that,
channel
markers are in and out like this. They're not straight.
But we have to go by some.
How long ago was that marker moved last, you know?
It was probably moved about 3 years. when we had a storm or something. And they come and move them periodically anyway. They get ostrich nests on them, and then they find a pile and it's got worms in it. And it's deteriorated, so they'll pull the pole and move it one way or another. I mean, that's nothing for them. They're not, you know, the Coast Guard's a fine group of people. I'm not trying to talk about them, but they got a bunch of young boys on there, and they get the thing anchored, and if they're 25 or 30 feet off, they stick the pole. Plus, the bottom breaks there just a little bit, but it's not. It's pretty much the same jet fall across. And yes, that is a federally dredged channel, but they didn't dredge that part of the channel in 15 or so years. Now, up Smithfield, they dredge that all the time, continuously. I've got oyster leases up in Smithfield, and they do dredge that continuously.
Mr. Plumley?
Your position, Mr. Brown, was that you thought, based on your original application, which had some 18 acres, that until the protest came, that it was closer to the channel, and then it got pulled back off the channel after the protest came. Is that what...
It didn't get... My original application is like it is there. It's yellow. And it's all one continuous piece. And up until, even after the protest was filed, that was still my assumption that he could protest that piece. But I was... Considering the fact that I had applied for that piece of oyster ground first, that I had the first right to that piece of oyster ground, no matter whether anybody protested it or not. And I don't know what else happened, but when I applied for it, Ben and I talked about it, and I told him, I said, now, if somebody protested, he says, that's not going to matter. He says, as long as it's not, you know, it doesn't make no difference whether they protest or not. He'll have a chance to speak to you. But Ben said that you apply for it first, you'll get it. Now, I didn't apply any channel. At first, I originally talked to Ben. I said, I want to apply all the way across and join these other pieces of ground. He said, no, we can't let you do that because of the channel. And that the reason me wanting to do that was to keep from having to stick my corners on the edge of that channel like I was going to have to do it, because I knew that buoy was in, but that's not the channel. That buoy's not. It's a marker to run by, but it's not the actual physical channel. My lease is not in the channel. My lease is up to the channel.
I guess my point was, you haven't had a chance to go back since you've learned about these two separated pieces now and really see where they're remarked or should be remarked.
Yeah, I know where. If somebody pulled the corners, I know where they're at. I know where everything's at. I'm not even, I mean, I know enough about it that I know exactly where.
Well, I just didn't know if you had notice of where they had decided to remark it.
Yeah, right. I see where they remarked.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding, and Mr. Brown, I think, is correct on this, that he is the first person to ask for this ground. Therefore, he has the priority if we lease to anyone. But my question to you is, are we obligated to lease to anyone, or can we just say, no, this is not for lease?
Ben, I mean, the commission has the option of setting this area aside.
Yeah. I mean, just like any permit or lease, it's commission prerogative whether it's in the best interest to lease it.
Okay.
And our stand, based on the channel and the law, is the reason that we've come to this conclusion.
Well,
not because of the protest, because of the alignment.
It appears to me, then, that we are unwilling to lease the middle section. We are willing to lease the little triangle at the left-hand end. And
that's yet to be determined, but
that's the staff recommendation, but that's y'all's determination.
That is the staff recommendation, and that is what the staff, anyway, is willing to lease.
That's right.
And there's no question that Mr. Brown is first in line, and so
right.
He would have the right to that if he wishes that.
Right. That's right.
You want to say something more?
If I may, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Fox, but I'd like to talk to – now that I can see where you're going, I don't want to talk to the rest of the board members because y'all are all individuals and y'all have your own minds and you to vote the way that you feel to vote. I just think that you need to do what's fair in this situation. I applied for that piece of ground first, and when we first discussed the piece of ground, and I know Ben's got a concern with the channel, but the channel is marked like it's marked, and my lease is not in the channel. My original application on my lease. Now, what Ben's got proposed, and that's up for discussion and debate between me and Ben. But what I originally applied for is not in the physical channel. Now, with the way they've got it stuck, I've got no control over that.
If in 20 years they come back and they pull that marker and they put it back to where it was 3 years ago, you know, if it had been moved, and then the alignment changes, then we would have no problems probably leasing.
I wouldn't say you wouldn't have any problems. It'd be something you'd have to consider again on its own merits.
Right.
But again, there's this concept of some amount of buffer between, you know, the actual
right.
dredge channel and how close you want to get to that. So you may be back to the same types of arguments. Are there other? Mr. Tanker.
So let me ask you this. So, Mr. Brown, when you go down there, it's very evident to you that the marker is not in the channel, correct?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying to me? And that you aren't, the piece of ground that you've originally applied for is a flat, non-sloping piece of ground.
And to some extent. It's got some places in it's up and down where the rocks, where the
right.
oyster rocks are.
Right. But it's very evident to you that that there is a channel that exists and you're not in it. It's what you're offering today.
Yes, sir. Nobody. I know very few of y'all other than I know Mr. Travelstead real good, and I know Mr. Lane real good because he's from Smithfield. If you go in and out of to Smithfield, nobody. I mean, the people that run directly beside the buoys are people that are not from the area. I mean, I'd hardly ever run by the buoys. I mean, I stay just off from them where I know the water is, and Mr. Lane knows the same thing. It's not a navigational hazard at all, the oyster ground that I've taken up. Or I'll rephrase that I applied for. It's not a navigational hazard. That's not really an issue here at all.
Thank you. Mr. Sessoms.
So is our policy to lease up to the edge of the federal channel?
Stag.
Yeah, I mean, that's our policy. And again, I'd refer you to the code section. It specifically, basically addresses that issue. Then the question becomes, what is the federal project camp?
Right.
If you want me to revisit that, you know, with the Corps and come back with
right.
some kind of
see, the markers are not
resolution,
the
but we typically don't go beyond the markers just because
Army Corps has.
And maybe law enforcement might want to weigh in on this. But the corner that Mr. Brown was alluding to, Mr. Gate, these corners right here, we got complaints this year from our law enforcement that this was stuck. These corners were stuck in the channel. In the channel. And what were we going to do about it in engineering surveying? And I researched it and looked at it. Code section's clear, ground that was already surveyed, if the channel markers get moved or the channel itself gets moved, they're grandfathered. And the man has the right to stake his ground. And I know it's a problem because we don't want somebody to stick a stake right in the center of the actual deep channel because it's a hazard. But this was not really right in the center of the channel. But it was kind of in that bend where people might err and drift out to the outside of the channel. And you know, I felt that our hands wasn't anything we could do. The guy's got the right to mark his ground. Could we come to some compromise? He's willing to pull the thing back 10 feet off. Just that's a suggestion to the leaseholder. Would you be willing to do that? Then how does he know where his ground really is? He's got the right to work right up to the line,
right.
Which Mr. Brown would have wherever you establish this line. You'll have the right to work right up to the line.
Well, now, if it's a federal channel, and tell me if I'm wrong, the Army Corps has that mapped.
Yes.
And I assume this is a federal channel. It's, okay. Has the Army Corps, and maybe I missed this, have they weighed into this yet? Have they aligned our map with their map?
That's what I was saying to you. If you want me to go to that extent, getting with the Corps and seeing what their opinion is on how close they feel comfortable with us coming. But this is a federally project approved channel, and the law kind of restricts us from approaching into that.
I guess my point would be if our policy goes up to the channel and we can find out where the channel is from the Army Corps, what's the downside to allowing the applicant to have his grounds up to the edge of the channel?
Well, that was why I brought this issue up. If the project channel is not the channel markers, but it's the physical footprint of the actual dredged area, then you will have stakes basically right in or on the edge of the actual channel.
You will have stakes on the channel wood side of the marker.
Yeah. Right here, if this is the federal project channel, the limits of the actual dredging, these two dark lines, then, which is, you know, the way we took it originally because we thought it would be marked more or less in accordance with that, then, you know, we went to this marker. I'm using that instead of a stake because I don't want a stake, you know, on 5 feet on the channelward side of it, because that's where the problem lies. You start putting stakes outside the buoy or the marker alignment, then we get other complaints from our law enforcement, from boaters. That's the issue. I'll do whatever commission wants.
Mr. Palmer?
Back to the Corps, whatever you want to do.
Mr. Palmer?
Okay. A question for Ben first and then for Mr. Brown. If you were to go to Army Corps of Engineers, how long would it take to get an opinion from them?
Well, I'd like to say I could answer that question, but I can't, because you might get one really quickly, and with the Corps, you might not. But, I mean,
on the outside edge,
I would hope within a month.
About 30 days or so. And the question I have for Mr. Brown, what is the depth of water at that channel marker?
At that channel marker?
Yes, sir.
Probably around 7.5 feet.
And then out at the actual channel itself, where you say the channel should be, what's the depth of water?
It's probably like 8 or 9 feet long in that area. I can address the issue of those corners that would be on the edge of the channel. I talked with law enforcement, and I told Rob that there was going to be a problem with anything that was going to be stuck that close to the channel. What I would do is the mornings that I worked that piece of ground, I'd get me two orange buoys, and I'd go there on the furthest corner up the river, which would be this one right here, and I've got it mapped, I've got it marked in my GPS, and I dropped that buoy, and I'd go down here, and I'd drop that other buoy, and that would give me those two outside corners, and at the end of the morning, we're going to work very late, 11 o'clock or so, I'd remove those buoys back on the boat and take them back in with me. That way, nobody would have a problem with the way that channel is marked now, that channel marker is outside of the channel itself, the way that they've got it marked. I dropped those two buoys, and I've talked to law enforcement, and they don't have a problem with that. So I solved that issue right up front. I mean, I wasn't going to have a problem with that to start with. I mean, I want that lease as I originally applied for it.
We understand.
If I can't get it, then I'll have to take what y'all give me. But I would appreciate, you know, getting what I really asked for.
Mr. Robbins, you had a question?
It's been partly addressed by the last comment. I mean, I was just going to comment on the policy. It seems to me that the policy does have practical implications, and you know, obviously there are leases that are grandfathered, and so there's the issue of how are those leases going to be appropriately marked. But I think we can see why, you know, going forward you wouldn't want a lease that encroaches into the navigational channel. You know, the practical consideration here, I think, is the fact that these markers are effectively marking the channel. I mean, whether they are a departure from what was originally platted as the channel years ago, I mean, the reality is that the way the public interacts with those markers is that is de facto the channel as marked. And I think if we lease inside of those markers, we do run the risk. I mean, you've just proffered that you could come up with some sort of temporary marking arrangement. I think the reason the policy exists is you don't want people sticking up leases inside the channel and operating inside the channel. You know, so I think there are a number of number of practical concerns here.
Correct, Mr. Robbins, but I can address any of the questions y'all have, I can address, but I've already, as far as working that part of it, it's already been worked. That's how I found oysters to start with. I worked in the wintertime because it was, it's not actually public bottom, but it was never leased. You understand? And that's how I found oysters there, and when I knew it was available to take up in a lease, that I could have it for my own, that's why I went and applied for it.
A couple more questions. Mr. Sessions?
Well, I'd be curious to know what the Army Corps' input would be on this. Now, I don't know if that goes outside of what we typically do with a situation like this, but it seems like there's some confusion as to where that where the green mark is placed. And I'd like to hear what they have to say.
Mr. Lane?
I agree with Mr. Robbins. I think the practical effect of all this is that the channel is where the markers are. That's what the boaters think. Boaters go up and down the river all the time. They use that as a channel. That is, in effect, the channel. The slope is pretty gradual in that area, and I think that's the channel.
Mr. Plumlee?
Before we have Mr. Gay, I think Mr. Gay is going to come up and talk, but I wouldn't mind asking Mr. Brown first. There seems to be a natural limitation where Mr. Gay's leases were. You know, they come to an edge and they stop, which would seem to me to indicate that that's where a channel was, that that's where the leasing, you know, this plat wasn't ended there for no apparent reason. It was, that was where the channel was, and maybe it's moved a little bit here and a little bit there, but that was the natural termination point of the channel. I want to give you a chance to address that because you've been...
Well, I've got a chance to rebut after he talks anyway, don't
you? Yeah.
Okay. I'll wait for him to talk.
Sure.
Yeah, I was gonna save this for the end, I guess my question is right now as it stands, during oyster season, they can dredge in the channel. That's correct. So it's not a matter of whether we're allowing him to dredge in the channel or not. They can. So that question is, it shouldn't even be considered whether we lease this or not. The second thing is the Army Corps channel is different than the Coast Guard channel, navigation channel. And I don't think the law prohibits us from leasing in the channel. It's our policy. And if the Coast Guard throws a marker out wherever it wants, which they do, which is not in coordination in any way, shape, or form, except for, by eye, of where the Army Corps dredges. And we allow the public fishery to dredge in the channel. I don't think that that's grounds for us to not allow this lease. Because there is this differentiation between the actual Army Corps channel and the marked channel by the Coast Guard. So I was going to say that for the end, but I felt like we were going down a path where we were considering not leasing this because we didn't want him to dredge in the channel. Well, we already allow people to dredge in the channel. That's not a question of whether we allow it or not.
Hear from the
and we do want to hear from the protestant whether. Yeah.
Palmer?
Thank you.
I'd like to say that I agree with Mr. Robbins and Mr. Lane and that boaters are going to go where the channel markers are. But it's my personal experience that I have seen channel markers move for no reason when they're reposted. The channel hasn't moved, but when the Coast Guard goes up there, or in my case, when the city goes up there, they'll pull something out and they'll move it over 30 or 40 feet, and darn if I can understand why they did it, but the channel hasn't moved.
All right, let's hear from the – thank you, Mr. Brown. Let's hear from the protestants. Mr. Gay? And while he's coming up, what was that code section again that dealt with the federal channels?
What page?
98. Mr. Gay, let me swear you in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Shannon Gay. And I think the just the picture alone kind of speaks for itself. With a narrow ground like that, now I have a 40-foot Chesapeake dead rise, so does Mr. Brown. there's no way that I would be able to work that skinny of a piece of oyster ground. If he tries to work that ground, he's either going to be on me, which I don't think Mark would steal from me, or he would be in the channel. So how could you think that you pull up the pink one here? How could Mr. Brown actually drudge that skinny of a strip? And it is in the channel. I was out there just the other day. I just feel it would be do nothing but cause problems if he were able to get that ground.
You're talking about like it is right now.
The way it is right now, right there.
Hold off on comment. We're going to give you another chance, Mr. Brown. Mr. Gay, do you support this approach if the commission were to approve these two separate?
I don't mind that one bit.
Any questions for Mr. Gay? Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard on this issue? Pro or con? All right, Mark, you got a couple of minutes to...
All right, I'll be quick. This is what Mr. Gay will approve.
Can you use the computer pointer?
Jack.
All you have to do is...
Mr. Gay does not object to the current...
He doesn't object to what they recommend. But he objects. That's because... He just said, I can't dredge these little pieces here, but if you continue to open up, go back to the other piece, the piece that I want. I'm going to take whatever I got to take. Don't get me wrong, but I want this piece so I can dredge that.
Right. We understand that.
The way the regulation reads is you have to have 3 acres. I'm going to explain this to y'all so y'all can understand it. Some of y'all probably know. You have to have 3 acres in order to obtain a dredge permit to work your private lease of ground. As Ben has it proposed to y'all with the two smaller pieces, you can see that upper piece, or the piece that's closest to the mouth of the creek, is only 1.5 acres. I can't dredge that. Mind you, I can shaft tong that. Shaft tonging, the boat stays still. It doesn't move. You're not going in a circle. I can dredge this upper piece, if it's all one continuous piece, because I can dredge inside 1.5 acres. That's not a problem. Do it all the time. I got pieces inside of creeks that are only less than 100 feet wide, and I dredge in those all the time with a 40-foot work boat. Have no problems turning around. If y'all will grant me the lease as I originally applied for it, I have all one continuous piece of ground, and therefore when I get my dredge permit, that's over 3 acres, I can dredge this up a piece. If you don't, I'm still going to have to take what you give me, and I'm going to have to hand tong that. But I don't want a hand tong. I want to be able to dredge it.
Thank you.
It's a whole lot more convenient way of working.
Appreciate it. Thank you. The matter is now before the commission. Mr. Schick.
Yeah, the way that I see this is that we don't actually know, we don't have the survey, I guess, of the Army Corps' dredge with his survey, with the survey of the
right.
request, at least on top of it.
Additional engineering.
And right.
We have the alignment in a book of the original
right.
directionally approved, but no. This is the chart, which is supposed to be a pretty accurate depiction
right.
of the channel and the markers at the time the chart was published.
Right. Well, I'd just like to reiterate that based on the markers and with the consideration that he was not going to stake and cause a hazard to navigation, I think it's something that we should be able to have an open mind to allow him to lease as he originally requested. Now, the problem is that is that lease actually in the federal Army Corps dredge project or not? And I would certainly hate to give somebody a permit and have the Army Corps come back later and tell them that permit needs to be revoked because it's in the channel. So, unfortunately, at this point in time, I can't make the motion to approve the permit as he requested, although I would like to do that. I think that it would we would have to find out whether that was actually in the channel, the Federal Army Corps channel or not. So
you want to take some time to figure that out?
Well,
you're suggesting?
That is up to the rest of this body, because I'm certainly hoping that the governor have somebody to replace me next month.
That's why you're delaying.
This is starting a bunch of trouble, man.
I don't know what the applicant would want us to do. Would he want us to approve this and then come back and apply for, you know, that piece based on, you know, the Army Corps survey, or would he want a 30-day delay until we find out actually where the channel is? And then we still have to discuss the fact of whether we're going to proceed with allowing leasing it in the marked channel, which is a whole different question.
But it's clear we cannot approve it inside the Corps,
yes,
dredge channel, the dotted line there that goes down the middle. The question then is, should we lease it in the area between that dredge channel and the channel markers? And I think I share some of Mr. Lane's concerns that, you know, the public perceives those channel markers to be, you know, areas safe for navigation. Now, having said that, and there are certain requirements about how leases have to be marked, correct, Mr. Stagg? About how close the stakes have to be, and in that case, you'd have stakes in the channel word of the aids to navigation. But you have the ability to approve alternate marking situations as well, correct?
I mean, the regulation for marking oyster ground basically sets the size of what it can be.
How often they can.
It cannot be metal. And they can't be any closer than 150 feet from each other, although I, as the chief engineer, do have the authority in the regulation to even alter that based on conditions if it's warranted. So we have some ability to kind of manipulate the marking to suit the needs of the situation. I think that was what you were asking.
Other comments? Mr. Palmer?
Well, I don't think we want to approve an area that's going to interfere with those markers without more information. Right now, the applicant would take, though he wants more, the areas that staff has recommended. Mr. Gay does not object to those areas being approved, so that some action we can take now. I don't see why he can't come back if there's more information that's gathered and clarified to expand that area at a later time. I mean, is that not possible?
Mr. Stagg?
Well, I think technically if you act today to approve anything, that would be an action. And if we get additional information in the future that would indicate we could move this line further to the south, I believe, and the council can help me with this, but that he'd have to apply again.
Right.
Go through the whole public interest review, which is a newspaper ad. We'd have to survey that. We could then merge those two into one lease, but he'd have to pay another $510 and an advertising fee. I believe that's the way I approach it.
Can we not waive that fee if we decide
versus
to
tabling it to find out whatever it is you want me to do with the court?
Those are codified fees, right? We don't have. Do we have the ability to waive them?
Survey fee is we set. The advertising fee is whatever the newspaper charges.
Right.
The recording and assignment is set in the code, but we always charge $510 for a survey. I mean, we would have to physically go back out there and stick some more corners and make a new plat to include any new area in it.
I think I'm, you know.
So,
same if I'm correct, they make the front at the last minute again. And
it could be protested by anybody if it was a re-advertised hearing, I would imagine.
That's the purpose
but
of
that. That wouldn't necessarily mean the board couldn't approve what was submitted. But I guess I'm just trying to find a way to move on it to do as much as we can without being held up to wait for another agency to act because we don't know how long that's going to take and we don't know what's going to come back. And that's to assist the applicant, not for any other purpose. I mean, you know, I think that's better than not doing anything.
I think I'm of the opinion that waiting is probably the best course of action. Let's gather more facts, figure out exactly where these lines are, and make one final decision when that information is available.
He still has the priority of the first lease. I mean, no one else has even applied, but he has the priority of being the applicant until such a time as the commission acts on it.
Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that thought. I think it will still essentially invoke the same policy discussion about whether or not we want to go down the road from that standpoint of permitting leases within the marked channel. So I think that's still going to be lingering. Having said that, I would ask staff for an estimate of how long they think it might take to get information. Should we continue this matter for 60 days, 90 days? How long would it take to get some sort of read from the
Again,
court?
I can't say for sure because I have to. The Corps has to react, but we have a pretty good relationship with the Corps and work with the navigation people routinely. I mean, I think we can get you something 30 days, I hope.
Let's try 60 instead.
If you want to sort of preliminarily say you'll try to have this back on the August agenda, I would feel confident that we can get some kind of comment.
And I agree with the waiting concept. I think that's a good way to go. But I'd also be curious as to the relationship between that marker and the edge of the channel, too.
Okay.
Now, that's Coast Guard driven, right?
Right.
So I'd be interested to know that distance. Because if it was 3 years ago moved back, you know, maybe that's encroaching on leasable oyster ground, too. Look at it that way.
We have to do some internal drafting to actually locate the federal project channel on our ground maps versus the current markers that
right.
are in the field. And if you want, we can get you some depth information as well in this general area.
Can we get a motion?
I'll move we table this for 60 days until the August meeting.
Is there a second by Mr. Robbins? Discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the matter is tabled. I would also ask Colonel Rhodes that perhaps law enforcement be prepared to comment on this policy issue of leasing inside the navigational markers when this comes back before the commission.
Probably from the channels over here.
Mr. Robbins.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'll be recusing myself on the next item.
Thank you.